Welcome back to the Hollow Sky Podcast, a listener experience episode. We are your hosts. I'm Steven.
And Kyle. And
it's Thursday, Hollow Cult. You know what that means. We're here kicking it with your very own interesting, weird, mysterious encounters. We're stoked to get into it. But first, we got to get through the business. So check us out at all our social media. YouTube, Instagram, Facebook, Discord, Reddit, Twitter. Search up the Hollow Sky Podcast at any of those platforms and you will find us there. Come be part of the community. Join the Hollow Cult. It's a cool thing to do. You know the drill. If you've got a listener experience you'd like for us to feature on a future Thursday episode, Kyle's got some information you're going to want.
I do. And we need your stories. So please don't think about it. Write them out and shoot them to the email. And the email is going to be hollowskypodcast@gmail.com. You can get a hold of us on social medias if you want to. But like I said, we've said it before, the email is easily the best way to do it. If you need any information, can't write it down, can't remember it, go into the show notes. All the information you need is going to be in there.
Easy, easy. Any way you can get it to us, we'll take it.
Absolutely.
If you'd like to support the show, there's plenty of ways to do it. We have a Patreon. You can go over there and check that out. You get early release shows, extra shows, ad-free shows, super cool AI band songs that drop over there. What else? Coupons to the old Hollow Sky store. If you're not familiar with that, you go to hollowskypodcast.com. We got a merch store over there. We got t-shirts. We got stickers. We got hats. All kinds of good things going on. You can also, the best way you can support us is just putting our name out there, word of mouth. Keep the show in everyone's ears. Share it on social media. Just keep trucking with it. It helps tremendously, especially in the world of podcasts today. Like, it is a struggle to stay afloat. So the more the people can help us out, the better off, better chance we'll have to be here another 5 years. So we appreciate it and keep trucking, Hollow Cult. So from there, we're going to dive right in to our listener experience this week. As I've said before, I don't have an actual chronological time order for any of these. I just kind of get them and throw them into a file over here. So these might be old. These might be years back that have been sent that we missed, and now we're getting back to them. So keep that in mind. Our experience today comes to us from our friend Eric, and it is titled, "That's Not My Dream." Eric says, "So I heard you guys on Tony's show. My interest was immediately piqued when you mentioned the dream flyers. It was late June or very early July, and the COVID lockdown was in full effect here in Portland, Maine. Let me set the environment surrounding my dream. I do not have nightmares. I never have, with one possible exception, when I was a preteen. I have workmares from time to time that we all have. When your work becomes overwhelming or too overwhelming to execute in your dream. Sometimes I realize in my dream, which always wakes me up. A few times I've taken control of my dream. I never have nightmares. In lockdown, I rediscovered documentaries about aliens, conspiracy theories, supernatural, etc. After my dream, I don't touch that stuff for weeks. My dream started as my own. I was at some kind of gathering with many work friends. I was having a great time seeing old friends and current friends as well. I said goodbyes because I had to leave. I left my friends and found myself in a desolate parking lot in a shopping plaza next to the local mall. This is where I believe my dream became no longer mine. I grabbed my red backpack and crossed the empty street, usually full of traffic, and noticed weeds had sprouted up through the pavement. The streetlights and pavement looked run down and unkempt. In the evening sun, it looked as if this place had been deserted for years. Upon reaching the other side of the street, I saw a tall building where the mall was supposed to be. It was a large building, and there was a triangle or possibly a pyramid shape on the left side, and on the right side, the building was a rectangular or maybe parallelogram shape. The building structures were formed of large black glass panels framed by steel. The main entrance had possibly two sets of double doors and half-circle steps that were larger to the ground and then progressively got smaller as they led up to the main entrance itself. The main entrance led into the rectangular part of the building. Off to the right side of the building, there was a long concrete ramp that started seemingly far away from and what seemed to be another entrance. The ramp had walls on both sides that looked like they would go up to about my shoulders for my head to be maybe 5 or so feet high. I walked up the ramp, and I don't remember how, but for some reason I couldn't get in. Somehow, I'm not sure how, the next thing I remember is being at the main entrance and again not being able to get in. All of a sudden, there was some kind of security vehicles that showed up. Security people or soldiers or whatever, they came out with guns drawn. I tried to run, but I knew I couldn't get away. I knew that I'd been caught. I don't know what I was being caught doing, but I knew that they were there for me. So there were these security forces or whatever with submachine guns drawn on me. There was another vehicle with, I think it was about 3 men in white coats who didn't appear to be armed or anything, and I didn't interact with them at all. The security forces didn't seem to have any sort of identification, like nothing that said FBI, or there were no insignias or symbols or letters on them or anything. They just looked like unmarked SWAT police. They had helmets and body armor, boots, the whole nine, whole uniform. Then a man walks up to me, and he was white and had blonde hair, the kind that was like gelled straight up. He pulled out a pistol and put it to my head and asked me, "So what's it going to be?" In that moment, I felt defeated. My head dropped down and my shoulders slumped. He laughed a mirthless laugh and shouted, "Well, boys, it looks like we're going to..." Let me get this right. He shouted, quote, "Well, boys, looks like we're going to the conservatory." I looked up at the grinning face in utter despair, and I realized I should have taken the bullet, because whatever the conservatory is, I sure as hell don't want to be there. So that's the dream. I woke up absolutely scared shitless as I remember the dream running through my head. I ran over to my bureau and grabbed some knives. I ran outside of my apartment looking for, I don't know what I was looking for, something or someone. It's a pretty crazy reaction to a dream right there, unlike anything that I've ever done waking up from a dream. I used to sleepwalk when I was a kid, so I don't know if it's something like that, but when I got up and left my apartment, I was completely lucid. This little part of the story is something that I don't truly believe is connected to the dream. It's something that I believe is coincidence that just makes it seem even freakier given my state of mind. My apartment was right behind a gas station convenience store. They were open 24/7. So I'd gone outside for whatever reason, thinking I could find someone or something. I don't know. I left through the back door of my apartment. Obviously, I didn't see anything, and I was headed down the driveway when I hear an engine rev. I look over to my left, and there's a white box truck moving fast out of the gas station. It stopped at the street parallel to me. I was maybe 20 feet away. I saw the guy inside do a rolling stop and look to the right. That's when I saw his face. He took off and did another rolling stop and turned down the next street. This guy was probably just making a delivery at the convenience store, speeding off to his next stop, but I was so paranoid at that point that I had to talk myself down. If someone had somehow gotten into my dreams, inside my head, they sure as hell wouldn't need a pocket box truck in a parking lot next to me for any sort of reason. There's no one I can really tell the story to where it makes any sense to anyone. It sounds absolutely crazy that someone somehow planted some kind of dreamscape in my head. Nobody's going to believe that shit, and I wouldn't believe it if someone told me the story. So I just suppressed it, and I stopped watching conspiracy stuff, stopped watching alien stuff. But then I heard you guys on Tony's show talking about the Dream Flyers and Egress and Happy Valley and all that stuff. It really freaked me out. I heard you guys mention that other people have been sending in their dreams, and there were correlations and running themes throughout the dreams. So I don't know if this dream had its helpful or if it fits in with anything else that really stuck out to me where the building was. I don't know why I was going there. I never seen it before. I don't know what was in there, but it seems to be some kind of objective that I don't know. The other thing that obviously stood out to me was the conservatory. The conservatory was what scared the shit out of me. And I don't know why, because the conservatory should not scare the shit out of me. Anyway, if there are any running themes, it would be awesome to hear about it. Otherwise, be well, and I'll keep listening to your show. First off, Eric, thanks so much for taking the time to submit this. Again, if this was a while ago, I apologize in advance. We have a way of doing things that is not very efficient, but here we are. I hope you're still listening. At the time that we were kind of delving in just post-Egress, hey, Holocult, if you've been around a minute, you've heard us talk about Mood, an online cannabis company that ships federally legal THC right to your front door. Mood's found a way to combine THC with carefully selected functional ingredients to create gummies, baked goods, and flower for whatever type of buzz you want. If you are new here, I'm talking about Mood.com. Mood has an incredible line of cannabis gummies, and you can get 20% off your first order at Mood.com with promo HOLO. Forget the one-size-fits-all supplement that only get you high. Mood's functional gummies are optimized to kick in as little as 15 minutes and take you to the mood that you're looking for. Are you having trouble sleeping? Try the Sleepy Time Advanced gummies for a mind-soothing calm each night. You need an extra boost of energy, some mental focus? Try the Morning Delta 9 gummies. If you're having trouble concentrating, you need some deep focus and enhanced creativity, try the Mind Magic gummies. Beyond gummies, Mood also has a selection of flower, pre-rolls, bakery treats, and beverages. You can find gummies to just get you high pretty much anywhere these days. But Mood's functional gummies combine premium, federally legal THC with targeted botanicals to help you get into the perfect mood in usually as little as 15 minutes. And everything ships discreetly right to your front door. No dispensary lines, no awkward conversations, just better days and nights delivered to your doorstep. Best of all, not only is every Mood product backed by a 100-day satisfaction guarantee, but as I mentioned before, Hollow Sky listeners gets 20% off their first order with code HOLO. So head over to Mood.com, find the functional gummy that matches exactly what you're looking for, and let Mood help you discover your perfect mood. And don't forget to use our promo code HOLO when you check out to save 20% on your first order. Try it today at Mood.com. And that's promo code HOLO. Whenever the lockdown was really ramping up, we were having a bunch of people write in and share with us dreams that were almost apocalyptic. They were really military and war based. A lot of people being in like military camps and seeing all kinds of military people, and the whole atmosphere was just really wound tight and chaotic, like something big was about to break loose or something big had just broke loose, which kind of, in a way, also lines up with yours, because I mean, you clearly had what could be, you know, determined as military personnel there as soon as you got to the pyramid.
Yeah, it's an interesting story. It makes me feel weird on several different levels. One, it made me think about, so we've talked about regressions and stuff before, right? And in order to access a regression, usually you're put through hypnosis and then someone walks you through. And I don't know why I just made this correlation. Maybe there's something there, maybe there's not, but What if your dream state, because in a way your dream state could be similar to that of hypnosis. You know what I'm saying? To where you're, whatever you're accessing, maybe that's the same thing that's being accessed through hypnosis. So that's one thing. The other thing, the other obvious thing that people could chalk up is that you went hard in the paint and were watching a little one too many documentaries on aliens and everything else. I'm not saying that's what it is, but I'm going to throw that out there. The other one that I find I'm probably most compelled to believe, the way you talked about your dreams, because when I have dreams, and I'm sure when Steve has dreams, we are unable to navigate our dreams. They just happen as they come. You, on the other hand, talk like you have the ability to navigate and virtually control your dreams. So my question is, are you actually dreaming? Maybe you're astral projecting to a degree, and maybe you stumbled into an area that you weren't exactly supposed to stumble into. and somebody caught you.
Yeah. Once you started going down that path, it started connecting in my head. I do think Kyle's onto something there with the, I think it all, again, I sound like a broken record saying this, but it all boils down to your consciousness. I think once you hit a certain frequency or vibration, I guess, whether it be through meditation, whether it be through hypnosis, whether it be through lucid dreaming, whether it be through hallucinogenics, you know, near-death experiences, I feel like once you hit a certain point, our consciousness kind of detaches itself from our body. And when we can do that is when we can kind of take over in these lucid dreams, in this astral projection, whatever you want to call it. And it's not that far-fetched to believe that the upper echelon of our governments probably keep an eye on this shit, because yeah. I feel like that could make people very powerful if they can harness that and just go wherever they want without being detected.
Well, that, and you know, we have JJ, our friend, who has been a ghost of late, but she mentioned people in white coats.
Yeah.
Right.
Which is bizarre.
And them able to manifest in this and that and the other. So, and our friend here, Eric, even mentions the white coats. You know, they're surrounded by the military personnel, but it still makes you feel like experiments
are
taking place. And then the other question I have for you, because I'm very particular on words. And so when you also really bizarre that when you woke up, you felt compelled to go outside. Very weird. Very, very weird. Because I've never had a dream and woken up and been like, I need to get something to go outside and see what's out there. That is, I can't explain that. But why, when you wrote, why did you say, and then I saw his face? It was almost like you left us on a cliffhanger there.
Yeah, let me go back, make sure I read because that right.
I was halfway expecting you to say that it was the same face of the guard with the blonde hair.
Yeah. I'm assuming that's kind of where that was going, but he did. He said, I saw the guy inside do a rolling stop, looked to the right, and that's when I saw his face. He took off, did another rolling stop, turned down the next street. So it does, like, it almost feels like the guy in the dream and the guy in the van was the same person.
That's kind of where my brain was going.
Almost.
Because if that's the case, that's weird. Extra fucking bizarre. Outside of you being able to reel back in time, and maybe you subconsciously saw this guy at the gas station before. Maybe. I don't know. It seems a little far-fetched. Could happen. Also, keep in mind, you dismiss the van. Our three-letter agencies use vans all the time for surveillance. So yeah. Don't. Or box truck, I should say, not van, box truck. There's plenty of room in the back there to put things and run experiments with.
And it almost feels like the way you describe the area almost feels futuristic, like decades into the future. How, like, you're familiar with the area you're walking in, but everything is desolate and nothing's. Had maintenance kept up on it. The weeds are going through the streets, and you come across this building where the mall should be. I'm curious, as in, you know, in 50 years, is the glass pyramid going to be there? You know, there's a lot of different avenues that this takes you down. When he started talking about seeing the man in the van and feeling that type of anxiousness, it reminded me of Shauna when she saw the guy parked in the black SUV right in the middle of Eager piling on. So
not to mention who makes a black pyramid building.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, that's some sussy shit right there. That's not normal.
One in Alaska.
Yeah. It's not normal. Like, I definitely feel like if that building's being constructed, there's some weird shenanigans going on alongside that.
It is weird. I almost wish they would have had an insignia or a patch or something on, something that we could kind of dig into and figure out, maybe link something together.
Yeah, but a lot of them groups don't run anything.
Yeah.
That seems to be a pretty common trope.
Conservatory. I've never heard of the conservatory, but now it makes me want to dig in, see if anybody else has had any experience with it. Because, I mean, it does have some pretty negative connotations there. When he realized he should have took the bullet over the conservatory, that's pretty gut-wrenching.
Yeah, and it's even, I don't know, it's even telling that you woke up at that moment.
Yeah, like, great.
Yeah. At least you woke up and didn't have to live through whatever was about to happen. Hopefully.
Yeah, that was wild. Anybody else that experiences lucid dreaming and such, if you've come across whatever these are, these men in white suits, please reach out to us.
Yeah.
Because I feel like one time's weird, but now we have two. Especially kind of delving into the same waters with old Egress in the dream state.
Yeah.
Now we have two of them. If anybody else out there is listening and you've dealt, especially during a time of lucid dreaming, during a time of meditation, during a time of astral projection, if you're taking DMT, whatever, if you've came across these men in white lab coats, hit us up. Because
that's a good call.
I feel like that's a one-off is weird, but now you've got two in that same very specific realm right there. Something sus.
Yeah.
Something is sus.
I agree.
But again, thank you, Eric, for taking the time to send this out to us. If you're still listening, which I hope you are, if you've had any more encounters with whatever these guys are, please shoot us an email. Send us a voice clip, something, because it's weird. Again, if anybody else has any and would like to shoot it in to us, revert back to the beginning of the show so you know how to do that. We'll gladly feature it on a future show. And check us out on all our social medias, Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, Twitter, TikTok, Discord, Reddit. Search up the Hollow Sky Podcast and we will be there. New shows drop on Monday. We do the night shift Wednesday, 8 p.m. Central, every other week when I am off. You can come and hang out with us live, talk about weird goings on, what's going on in society today, just the whole nine. Until we meet again, stay safe, stay weird, and if you see the men with the white coats, I don't know what to tell you. It's either conservatory or the bullet, and that's not a very good choice.